Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, June 3rd, 2019.
It's June.
I know. Don't remind me. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. How
you believe
are you
it's
doing?
June already?
I can't. I cannot. It's the hype is all around us. It's consuming right now.
You can't get away from
so
it.
So close to E3.
Yeah.
Last week, every day, big news.
Big
every
news.
Day,
big news. Something to talk about.
Got yeah. loving today. This morning, waking up. Wow, Google. Wow.
Why not? Right.
I'm feeling
Why not
lucky.
Throw a wrench in the works already? I don't understand what that is
it's
a reference
Google
to.
Thing. When you search and it's like, I'm feeling lucky.
Why is that button things. Even there? That's stupid. It doesn't.
Oh,
you're
a Bing user.
No, I just
out.
Fucking Google. Why? What
Did
is?
You know
I'm
that with
lucky?
Bing, that if you search. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm going to get details of this wrong.
Okay.
But I'm not making this up.
Okay.
If you use Google, sorry, if Bing. You use Bing 30 times in a month, you get that month of Xbox Live Gold free.
Really?
Something like that.
It's so sad.
It's very sad. Yeah, I mean, nobody's even heard of it. Nobody even knew about it. Nobody even cared about it.
Life hack.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
It is June, which means it's one of the kind of funny. A lot of Kind of Funny Live anniversaries have been popping up, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody tweeted one today at me. This is Kind of Funny Live 3's. 2 year anniversary
would have been, yeah.
Wow, look at that.
Crazy
just times.
Like that. My little baby's all grown up. Go watch it. YouTube.com/kindoffunny.
Kebab's automatically correcting the wrong thing. That's not even it. God damn it, Kebab. Stay out of your wrong if you don't know what the fuck's going on. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're there, you can ask us questions, give us commands, be all sorts of things.
Give
it's
us
E3
commands.
Week, man. It's E motherfucking 3 week. I can't believe it. It's already happening.
I mean,
it's already boiling over into this week.
It's pre E3 week. Right, mm-hmm. Next week's E3 week, but
E3 just doesn't stop now.
We're now getting a Pokemon Direct tomorrow.
Yeah,
there was
a Pokemon press conference last week. There was a Call of Duty reveal of everything last week. Now there's a Stadia information thing Thursday.
This is big.
Yeah,
I'm stoked.
I was
kind of bummed about EA being like, it's not a press conference.
Yeah.
We're backing out. PlayStation backing out, but it's like, hey, Google's coming in. What's this mean for next year, baby?
You know
I'm already
hyped for next year. You know the rigmarole, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
right into the questions.
Patreon.
If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Then, of course, you can watch the show later. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it. roosterteeth.com. You can listen to podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today. It is June. Happy Pride Month, everybody. We Have Cool Friends debuts today. If you are watching live on Twitch, you can watch the debut episode of We Have Cool Friends, our new interview show, where
and
I interview
of,
Devin Sawa.
You can get it as a podcast now. Go subscribe. It's a new podcast feed.
Oh, it's a brand new podcast.
It's a brand new podcast feed. Go search for We Have Cool Friends on your favorite podcast services. As always, it might take a little time to
get
here or there.
Yeah.
Last I checked, it looks good to be everywhere with the exception of, I don't have a confirmation of Apple Podcasts, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's waiting to be confirmed, and Spotify, but that's being worked on.
Cool. So, yeah, new
we
show.
Have cool
we Have
friends.
Cool Friends out today. It's right after this on Twitch, then, of course, YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames, then limping out to podcast services around the globe.
But please go to the podcast, give it 5 stars, give it the thumbs up, give it whatever
it
liking system it has,
because
now is that an immediate thing to get on new and noteworthy and all that.
And even
that
if you
stuff.
Are going to do all that on your podcast services, go subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/kindoffunny. Like it up there. Like I said, Devin Sawa, star of Final Destination, Idle Hands, Casper, coming in to talk
Stan
about his
himself.
Career, all these different things, talking about how he got involved with Eminem for the Stan video. For me, the show in general is it's an interview show, if you didn't know, where we're going to bring in a cool friend every week and talk to them about their life or what's going on in their lives and stuff like that. For me, it's a cool way to get back to interviewing people, which I desperately miss. So I'm super stoked with this episode. Devin Sawa, a great way to start it off. Remember, the Kind of Funny Games E3 showcase is 1 week from today. Holy shit. Monday, June 10th, 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. More than 60 games all up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch along, share it with your friends, do that thing, do your own watch logs on Twitch, whatever you want. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Daniel Massey, Blackjack, Colton Yoder, and Muhammad Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Hims and Omaha Steaks, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one on the Roper Report, something breaking right before we started here. Google Stadia has announced they're doing their own conference Thursday. It reads like this on Twitter. Some news can't wait for E3. Tune in to the first ever Stadia Connect, which it makes it sound like they're going to have this being a reoccurring thing. Mm-hmm. This Thursday, 6-6 at 9 a.m. Pacific time for exciting announcements, games, and more. You'll get launch info, it says, game announcements, and a price reveal. Tim, where do we think about this?
I mean, dude, I'm very hyped about this. One, I love press conferences, especially around E3. That means that there's something there. It's not just a, you know, press release, blog update type thing.
Sure.
It's like, hey, we have something to say. On top of that, they're straight up saying, here's what we're going to say. And they're kind of like, hey, those questions you have, we're going to give you answers. I love that they're already getting ahead of it. There's no question of, are they going to talk price? Are they going to talk launch? Are they going to talk games? They are. So now it is definitely a get hype moment.
Where you think so? Like, now you're going to let yourself dream. You're going to get yourself get hype.
I mean, it's right now, like, I don't feel there's any like crazy get hype thing that Google can do. They're not in that place. Right now, sure. The get hype moment would be they nail this, they stick this, they prove that this is a platform that is going to be very important to video games.
Do you think they need to stick this because they missed it last time around?
No, not at all. Again, I was one of the bigger proponents of the Stadia's reveal.
Yeah.
In that I believe in the tech. I believe that it's going to work. I believe in the vision that Google is putting out there. And I understand that there's a lot of naysayers, and for good reason. But I think that that was the way to kind of tee this up for this.
Sure.
And them getting ahead of it and saying that those things are here in one tweet. They're making a lot of promises.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, they're getting in line with what I think people want out of the first one, right? Going back to talking about that original Google Stadia press conference and reveal, right? It was at GDC. It was meant for developers, right? It was to get you stoked for making games for it and what the tech is behind it. The tech part of it, not the consumer part of it. And so, obviously, you can't do that just for developers. You want to share that everything. You want to make a big deal. You have the controller. You have all this integration with YouTube. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool stuff there. I just felt that for myself and so many other people who already believed in the tech and were already stoked about it, already kind of knew that to that. I didn't need the nuts and bolts of it. I understand mm-hmm. how it's working. I want price. I want game announcements. I want dates. And so to not get that at the reveal, not by any means unheard of or unexpected, right? It was.
I mean, I would say that it is heard of.
Oh, yeah. Like, no. That's what I'm saying. It's not unheard of. Yeah. Exactly. You look at PlayStation 4 reveal or something like that, right? But for some people, they looked at that as like, oh, stumble, or oh, that wasn't the best foot forward, or oh, it wasn't the most interesting thing. I think it set the groundwork, like you're saying, whether it was interesting or not for the mainstream. And now we get to a point where hopefully tomorrow or Thursday, you get a lot of information about all this stuff. You get the things you want to know.
See, I disagree with you just in the sense that I feel like most of the people that were vocal about not liking the first reveal wasn't so much about like, oh, it needed this stuff. It was more about like, I don't believe this. It's just a bunch of bullshit. I don't believe it.
Sure.
Right. I feel like the people that
I don't feel like that walking out of I think the initial knee jerk reaction on Twitter and people being mad or stuff was, where are the games? What is the price? What are the specifics?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it, after the fact, when they went to GDC and it was working on the floor and somebody had, you know, like you're getting weird, Phil saying weird things about like how many milliseconds or whatever it was going to be before, or what the connection needed to be for 4K, but everyone interpreting that as just what it needs to be in general, then it was more of a they wanted to see it. I mean, everyone wants to see it, period.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed the presentation that they did at GDC. I feel like just because it's GDC, that doesn't give it any type of excuse for not giving viewers what they want, because you're putting this as a live stream and it's not for developers. They can say that all that they want, but if you're the moment that you're like hyping it up and putting it out there, you're putting it out there for the consumers to see as well. And they did. They treated that as if it was a press conference, and they did not nail it as in the way that E3 press conferences have been nailed in recent times. But then putting a branding on this, Stadia Connect, this is putting this in the Nintendo Direct, PlayStation State of Play category of we are expecting something from this, and they're telling us what to expect.
That's the best thing you can do for one of these. If you can manage expectations and tell people straight forth what's going to happen, mm-hmm. you have a less of a chance of being underwhelmed or you know, making people upset by the end of it.
And it reminds me a lot of EA's EA Play, right? EA Play, where they're transparent. They put out what they're doing, and I'm still let down by that. But I'm let down by that because
you want pop and circumstance.
E3, I want the press conference, and I expect the press conference based on previous years, right?
Yeah.
So like, I was seeing a lot of Reddit comments or comments a couple days ago when we did talk about EA Play. That people were like, oh, Tim's a hypocrite. Like, he's saying he wants this. He needs to understand.
I've been saying it for years.
Exactly. But my thing is, like, I understand what they're doing, and I really appreciate the transparency EA is having of just like, hey, don't expect any announcements. We're not making announcements. We're showing demos of these games. These are the games we're showing. Don't expect any other games.
Yeah.
Cool. I get that. I just would prefer them to do a press conference and have things. Duh. I like new games. I like Skate 4, yeah. Right? But I'm not expecting that or being critical of them for not having Skate 4. I'm being critical of them for not having a press conference, not having Skate 4, and then doing this
stuff. You can appreciate the transparency, but wish they went a different way. But exactly. I mean, like, you're also just pitching the same thing we always pitch for EA, Sony, Xbox, yeah, of what the dream conference would be.
Yeah.
And then we get there, and it's not there. We're like, oh.
Exactly, totally. And when it comes to this, it's like, this sounds exciting to me. I am willing to bet that there's nothing that they can do that's going to win the people that aren't won over with this.
The way you get people won over is when they try it. When it's actually out there,
exactly.
they actually get to use it on their home internet or hotel internet. Like, holy shit, this works really well.
I just hope that these are good announcements. The release date, all that stuff, I don't personally care.
I care a lot about the release date. I want to know.
But I mean, what does it matter to you?
We know it's 2019. Soon, that's all. I just want to be excited, yeah, and like know when it's coming. That's
I guess my thing is like, we know we're getting it. We know we're getting it this
price
year.
Price reveals, I mean, fascinating.
Price to me, I care a lot more about because that I want. It's not so much about the price as much as what is it? Is it going to be? I bet it's going to be an Amazon Prime like service
subscription
where it's like it's subscription, but that doesn't mean you get everything. Where it's like Amazon Prime VOD, Amazon Prime Video is what it's called.
Yeah.
Where it's like you get a whole bunch of free stuff, but like that doesn't mean you get all the videos free.
Yeah, you want to rent Happy Death Day to you, you got to pay
for that.
You got to pay for that,
right? And I think that that's going to be the system. And I also think that's a good system for it. But the free stuff, the subscription-based stuff needs to be at least match Xbox Game Pass. And that's going to be hard because they have the first-party titles. However, they only have the first-party titles, so that's not that much.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what I'm interested in.
That's why game announcements gets interesting, too. It's just like, how much does Google have its shit together? And how many partners do they have signed on for what this actually is?
Yeah.
And is it going to be that it's a launch lineup of, we have 14, 15 games on it, like launching a console? Or is it going to be, like you're talking about, of like, no, we have all these new games that are exclusive. We've signed exclusive deals with them. They're only coming to Stadia. You'll see them throughout the year. However, every game that's on Steam or whatever digital service for PC game you want to talk about is actually here as well. And then we have this catalog that is part of your Google Stadia membership that gets you all these things to play on demand as long as you're a member and da-da-da. And you get priced different. You get discounts when you buy it or play, you know, buy new games with it.
I understand that I am in a very privileged position when it comes to video games and when it comes to being excited about the prospect of Google Stadia. I don't think that it's for everybody, but I do think that I am very excited to see them prove to me that this is going to be a worthwhile video game experience that I can use in addition to my traditional video game experiences. And I think that they're going to prove that. And that's where the price comes into play. Mm-hmm. The reason I say I'm not too interested in the date is because I know it's coming this year. We're running out of time this year. So whether it's July or December, it is about the games. It is about the actual service itself.
Yeah.
So getting those answers, I think, is going to be really exciting. It being this close to E3, I think, is obviously a statement.
Sure. I mean, the fact they use the E3 hashtag in their tweet, right?
This is their E3 conference.
They're very much saying, we are a gaming company. This is a real gaming thing.
And I love it, man. This is such an interesting year for video games and E3 itself, where, you know, it's the weirdest E3 we've seen for a very long time, at the very least. But around it, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. And what does this mean for next year? Next year, do we see proper E3 press conferences, the return of Sony, Google being there in full force with, here's the first party game or games that we've been working on?
Yeah.
That's really cool to think about. And I love the idea that this is a product that they're going to put out there. The more avenues for cool announcements that are focused, the better, in my opinion.
Of course.
I think that Stadia Connect could prove to be a very, very exciting, cool thing. And so far, I believe in Google Stadia. I don't think it's going to take over video games and be in place of it, but I think it's going to be an amazing adjacent partner.
It's going to be interesting. I still am inclined to believe more in Project X Cloud, having seen even less of it. I just feel like Microsoft has a better backbone in terms of gaming, right? Like I these game announcements they're talking about, that's what I, in terms of the three things they're putting out there, right? Release date, game announcements, and what was the other one? I gotta turn back over. Just exclusive launch info. For me, it's more about game announcements. Because, yeah, what is on the system? How many partners do they have? How deep are they going back into a library? Is it everything that's ever been released? It's their own proprietary store, or is it not? Or how's it working? And that's what I need answered to understand what's going on. Whereas I think Microsoft's going to be able to launch with Project X Cloud and be like, cool, Game Pass is on it. Cool, it's all these other games you want or need.
I guess I might just be getting caught up in the future and my thoughts and beliefs of where this is all going to lead. Because we followed these game developers and these console manufacturers for so long.
Sure.
We've also seen Google change and adapt over time. And I'm seeing this the same way that Google Video was before it bought YouTube. And I don't necessarily think that Stadia is going to beat out xCloud. I really do feel at some point they're going to partner.
Sure, they're going to push each other. That's more than anything, right? I mean, competition is always good. Seeing two people enter the space with a lot of bravado behind them right now, with the resources and time and experience to do it, right? Like, even if you want to look at Google Stadia and be like, well, they're brand new, whereas Google, let me look at the team they're assembling over there, right? You have Phil Harrison, you have Jared Petty, you have Jade Raymond, you have Nate. Like, they have a team over there that is being assembled that knows gaming really, really well.
Yeah.
And is interested and hungry.
Exactly. And you have Microsoft partnering with PlayStation, or maybe, I don't know if you can phrase it that way, but PlayStation partnering.
PlayStation
with,
using Microsoft servers.
Exactly.
Whatever.
For all of that, and it's like, then we have the rumored all but insured Ubi Pass, whatever called. But the Ubi's launch of that, like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, the timing's not going to work because Ubi's press conference is after Stadia's thing, but I can imagine Stadia being like, hey, and if you have Ubi Pass, like, you get it on Stadia. Like, it's, that's part of all of this. That's how this partnership's going to work. In the same way,
see, that, I think, like, they could announce that there easily. You say that it's after the fact and the time doesn't work out. I think it could easily be, please welcome to stage Yves Gilmore. We saw so much success with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. We believe in this. We are announcing this new thing, Ubi Pass. It'll be on Xbox and PlayStation or whatever.
Interesting. Yeah. I just feel like we need to get out of just thinking about how we traditionally think about video games and announcements and consoles and things like that, because we are now getting to a point where these services are going to be more similar to Spotify and Hulu, and how those partner up all the time, and like the different owners are playing and making these licensing deals to benefit everybody in the system. And by everybody, that doesn't necessarily mean the consumer's getting the best end of the deal.
Yeah.
But I would argue that in a lot of cases it does recently, at least when it comes to streaming services. Like, I open up my Spotify, and it's just like, oh, you get Hulu. I'm like, I didn't ask for that. That's cool. Great.
All right, great. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
But I can see that this year is going to be the early version of this. Next year is going to be like the baby steps towards it. But I can't wait to see what next E3 means in terms of these streaming services.
Yeah. It's also that thing of when you talk about next E3, and then this is doom and gloom, of course. I mean, is Google Stadia still standing? Like, right now they're making a big push, they're making a big move, right? Like, Google is pretty quick to, you know, pivot and change and do things. I'm not saying they wouldn't be there at all, right? But, like, is it that by the time we get to next year, Google Stadia isn't a joke, but is something that Google tried and didn't do much with or whatever?
I believe, in the same way that, you know, people I think are comparing Google Stadia, they're like, oh, it's going to go away in the same way like Google Plus just went away. I think it's more of a YouTube situation where Google Video's gone. But Google owns online video.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's going to be the future of all of this. I don't think that Microsoft's going to own the conversation. I think they're going to be a very, very, very big part of it. But if anything, I see a partnership between them more than any one person failing.
So, Timmy, give me some predictions here. We already did our E3 predictions episode for Gamescast up right now. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe. You all love that one. We each did 10. I would like to know from you. We'll do it now. We're not going to make a full blown pizza bet here, right? But I want to know release date, because I'm counting release date as launch info. You think, or they don't even do release date?
I imagine launch info. They straight up mean release.
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah.
Rollout structure or whatever.
And then price review. So what do you think for release, and what do you think for price? I'm not going to do games. Like, what are we going to?
I don't know.
There's going to be games.
Well, I think it's going to be Amazon Prime Video style, where it's a subscription with a la carte options.
Okay. Like, that is how much do these subscriptions cost you?
See, this is hard because we don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, I know.
About.
That's fun out there. Just getting out there.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what this is as a service, right? Like, I feel like that's a lot that they need to talk about 100%. Here.
You can stay away from it if you want. You can just do release. When do you think Google Stadia is out?
I want
you coward.
I want to try to figure, when? I feel like the most exciting time would be October, because that gets ahead of a lot of the major releases, and then we get to see the major releases play out. I think the safer bet would be November. Okay. late November, but I'm going to say October. I'll put my fun get hype bet October.
Okay. You want to put a date on it, or are you just going to stick to month here?
Date. I don't got it.
That's fine.
October 6th.
Oh, okay. Picking a Sunday. Interesting. October 6th, huh? It's a good one. Because what they want to make a splash here.
Oh, are you about to do it, Greg?
No, because this is exactly this.
Just fucking say it, you
coward.
I want
to say it, but I'm not going to say it. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier in one of the, I think, the Gamescast predictions about, somebody would have leaked it. Mm-hmm. Like, but if they were going to say, and it's available now, right? They'd want you to buy the fucking Stadia controller because it's going to have like no latency, yada, yada, straight to this. There'd be images of the Stadia controller out already. So sadly, we have to give up the dream of it being available on the 6th. You know what I mean? Give up the dream, Tim. Don't do it. Because again, they want it to be the perfect
I'm changing
thing.
My bet, baby. Available right now. Or at least today.
Well, yeah. I'm going to say September. September is mine. My prediction for them actually releasing this thing. Okay.
Now, here's the thing, like, to have a real conversation, sure. Jokes and hype aside. I feel like them coming out this early before E3 is purposeful. And
oh, yeah.
If they were to announce the date later, whatever, that purpose kind of loses a lot of meaning, I think. At least in terms of it caring about it as a service, especially when we're about to have a week of hearing about Microsoft service, hearing about all this
stuff. UB service, yeah.
UBs and all that. So like, I feel like them coming out and being like, now it's releasing, at least in beta, at least in some form. Right?
Beta's an interesting check.
But like, I still see it as a paid thing. I still see it as you're still paying for the service. But
sure,
I can see them making it clear as like, this is the service, but it's not.
I want to believe so bad, Tim. I do. It's just the fact that I don't think they can do that and not have the controller out because they're saying the controller is the best way to play. And so if you don't have the best way to play, then what are you going to do? Everybody's fucking shitting on it on the internet about latency. And you're like, well, no, when the controller comes in a month, like, no, that's a shitty way to release it.
Yeah.
The beta thing makes sense of like, hey, like, you know, we're launching a beta leading up to a full thing or whatever. You're still buying. We're launching an early access, I guess would be a better way to say it, because you're paying for it.
Yeah.
I don't get me wrong. And that's the other thing. Is this all? What's interesting about this that I haven't seen? We went live, obviously, right as this tweet went live. It sounds like they're doing a direct, right? It doesn't sound like this is another giant conference. Hey, come hang out with this thing. Which, if it was, then I would totally. Maybe, and right now, on your way out, you're all getting a Stadia controller, right? So that you have influencers and fucking press out there talking.
I know I sound fucking crazy to so many people.
You always do.
I don't believe in the Stadia controller that much. Like, I don't believe in the importance of the Stadia controller. I think that they're putting that out there to create a veil of hardware, which makes you believe in Stadia more as a console because people need that tactile thing.
They need
to
buy something.
Yes, they need to buy something. I really think that, sure, it's going to be the best way to play. The Xbox One X is the best way to play. Or PC is the best way to play games, but that doesn't mean you do. You
no,
know what I mean?
True. Go to hell.
So
mouse, keyboard.
I don't know. I feel like they could launch this without the controller. Pre-orders now for the controller. They come out next month or whatever.
The other problem, too, you figure, is I just feel like your early access is an interesting wrinkle to the bet or the conversation. But it would be the same thing of so much of this is dependent on what they showed of like, oh, when you watch a video and you get to click right off of it and buy the game there and do the thing and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't think that's going to be a, like, you know, we flip a switch and YouTube suddenly works that way. I think there's going to be updates and iterations, and I think it would be similar to when we see new tech coming. You go, oh, see, they just updated this app.
I mean, Google's servers just shut down.
Yeah, I don't think that was on purpose, was it?
I mean, it wasn't, but was it?
I don't know. I mean, they must have been fucking. I assume it wasn't on purpose, and I'm sure the Stadia team was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Not the weekend before we announced this fucking thing, please.
But that's the thing, though. It going down, maybe it wasn't on purpose, but maybe it's because they were flipping a bunch of switches. You know, flip
okay.
the wrong switch.
Okay. That got me excited. You just did something there. You flipped my switch, if you know what I'm
Hell
saying.
Hell yeah, dude.
6 to midnight right now on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see, everybody. Breaking news from the chat. Nanobiologist and Arvel confirm each other. Apple TV will now support the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 DualShock controllers.
Whoa.
This is from the Apple conference that's going on right now, apparently.
Oh, that's right. They're focused on gaming.
Yeah.
Launched the first iPod Touch in years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Number two on the report, Bethesda knew that Fallout 76 would quote, or sex,
Now 76 I'm interested.
Would quote unquote have some bumps. This is James O'Connor at VG247 who's reporting on the IGN Unfiltered Ryan McCaffrey interview with Todd Howard. I digress. Here it is. In an interview for IGN Unfiltered, game director Todd Howard has opened up about the difficulties the team faced working on Fallout 76 and how they were aware before launch that the game would not earn the high review scores of other titles Howard has been attached to in the Elder Scrolls and Fallout series. Quote, "We knew we were going to have a lot of bumps," Howard says. "That's a difficult something got fucked up on my copy and paste there. Hold on, everybody. Tim?
Yes.
Take the wheel. No, just talk to the kids. I'm just talking to you while I open the article. Don't try to read the broken article.
But it does say that's a difficult develop Fallout 76. And say, all right, cool. I don't know what that means.
Okay. "We knew we were going to have a lot of bumps," Howard said. "That's a difficult development," end quote. Fallout 76, which reviewed poorly at launch and has continued to receive major updates since, is a shift away from the experiences players have come to expect from the series. Quote, "You know that a lot of people might say that's not the game we want from you," Howard said. "We were ready for a lot of those difficulties ended up on screen," he said, admitting that a lot of the criticism the game received in the reviews was very well deserved. "This is not going to be a high Metacritic game. This is not what this is." But Howard believes that with a game like Fallout 76, it's not how you launch, it's what it becomes, and that the game has improved dramatically since launch. Quote, "It's really turned around. It's a fabulous game with an incredible community. Their plan is to simply keep making the game better so that the game's community can get more out of it down the line. It's hard to say whether Bethesda has totally turned things around, although it does seem like the game is in better shape now than it was at launch." This clip is an excerpt from the full interview, which will be available on IGN.com on June 4th. Again, that's IGN Unfiltered. Ryan McCaffrey, you know him well, doing his one-on-one interview with Todd Howard. What do you think? What do you take away from this one, Tim Tam?
What I take away from this is this, Greg.
Here we go. And he slapped the papers. He's serious today.
Todd's right about everything that he's saying here. Yeah. We've seen it time and time and time again when it comes to these games as a service being launched. And it's not how it launches. It's what it turns into and blah, 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 and all that. Absolutely right. Understanding it's going to have the issues, saying that understanding it's not going to review high. That's not what their goal is for this. Their goal is community and building and all this stuff. Having said all that, that does not change the fact that if you're going to do that, you're going to get the response that you got,
sure,
which is a lot of anger, a lot of people having to back away and be silenced and be like, oh shit, Bethesda is now a bad word.
Yeah.
And that sucks. Is that worth the back and forth and what you had to deal with knowing that you're putting out this? This seems weirdly transparent in a way where they don't know what to say. Right? It's kind of like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But I'm not saying that in the way of like, oh, this is a tough one for Todd Howard and Bethesda. I'm saying in a way of like, this seems like an apology, but not really. It seems like owning it, but not really.
Yeah. The problem, I think, is, and this is without the whole interview being released. Again, it's out tomorrow on IGN.com. Congratulations, Ryan. Another great Unfiltered episode. Everyone should subscribe. I tell you all the time. The problem, not having seen the whole thing, is what this sounds like is, yeah, when we were getting ready to launch, we knew this game wasn't going to review well. We knew it was going to have problems, and we knew we were going to fix them, and it's about how they build the community. Mm-hmm. Awesome. What about 9 months before then? What about a year before then? When did the ship go off track that you realized you were not going to launch? This wasn't going to be the Fallout 76 you wanted this to be.
Yeah, and at what point did you value that at $60? I think that's the other thing, too, yeah, is, you know, it's delay the game then. You know, and I understand that that has repercussions on the developer side and the publisher side on all of that. But guess what? So does this.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the other one I would honestly go with, and this is something so many people have said, and the conversation we have about Anthem all the time, right, as well. Slap early access on it. Say that. Communicate to the people. Hey, everybody, we have two options right now. We can either launch the game on the date we are talking about or delay it inevitably. Mm-hmm. We could delay it inevitably, but guess what? When we launch it, it's going to break again and we're not going to know why. We're going to put this game out early access. We are going to charge you full price for it. You're coming in right now to get a game that is, and this is, I mean, I want to do this. I would want to sell it cheaper. We're going to charge you the full $60. But you know that you're getting a game that we aren't happy with yet, and we are working on, and we want you reporting all this and da 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 da. Because right now, all this does is reinforce that sentiment we hear all the time when we do these stories, right? Of like, why would I pay six? I'm never buying these kind of games at launch because what the fuck? I don't know what I'm getting anymore. Am I getting the full-fledged experience of The Division 2? Am I getting something that is broken like Fallout 76? Am I getting something that's content bare and has loading screens all over like Anthem? Like, it's a gamble with the games as a service at launch, what you're getting. And the problem is, and I know that I get the corporate apologist thing all the time, from a broad stroke, is, and this, I don't know, applies this, so many of these games, you don't know the problems you're going to have, so you get people in them. You don't know the economy's broken until millions of people are doing it, and they're like, oh, man, if you pick up these snail shells and you fucking farm them over here, you get $1 million. Like, ah, fucking jeez. That wasn't the problem with Fallout 76, obviously. I'm not saying Fallout 76, like, fucking T-posing people and people getting shot and not reacting. Different thing. But I don't... if you're going to make these things, I think the only way to do it anymore, unless you're the Division, which, and I know I'm a Division fanboy, but, like, launch pretty much perfectly, is to... hey, this has to be early access. And maybe that does mean you buy it cheaper or something.
I mean, dude, that's where free-to-play has to come in. And that's where all these microtransactions and season passes and this and that's need to play. But that's where that comes as a, you better nail those things. But Fallout 76 is a result of years of games as a service being the thing to go after.
Right.
And then it didn't learn from any of those issues, though. And it just happened because it's like, here's an IP, here's a moneymaker. We're going to put those two things together, right?
Yeah.
Like, Bethesda needs to be better than that or else they get a bad name. In the same way that EA right now has a horrible name because of having the back-to-back problems of Star Wars Battlefront, then Anthem, going through all this. It's like they're having issues with all of the schemey, scummy things the gamers have issues with right now. And you can't do that. So when Ubisoft comes out and has learned from the problems time and time and time again and are proving it with games like The Division, they just look great. It makes everyone else look worse, right?
Yeah.
If Fallout 76 came out free to play, it would still be criticized for being a bad game, right?
100%.
It being $60 is inexcusable. And I feel like Division can charge $60 because they're like, yeah, look, we did it, right?
Yeah.
Anthem charging $60, they wanted it to be that and it wasn't. Somebody knows what they're doing. Somebody understands. And when I say somebody, I mean a lot of people understand. And maybe they're not the people in charge. Maybe they're not the people in control of making those decisions. But when it comes to Fallout 76 in particular, that game should have been free to play. That game, especially at the state it was when it launched. And you can't be like, hey, we're going to charge you for this game. It's going to get better eventually. Yeah. But will it ever be worth $60?
I mean, that's the biggest problem, right? Is that's not even what they're saying, right? This is what we're saying now on Unfiltered months later. Mm-hmm. At launch, they weren't saying, hey, we're charging you $60 and it's not great, but we're going to work on it and get it there, right?
Yeah.
They did put out the letter beforehand being like, hey, like we're finally here and we're going to discover things together. And that's when we're all like, oh, wow, it's really bad.
Yeah.
And that, but that's not the exact same thing of what you're talking about, right? Like, and I understand this is what we come down to. The people who fuck this shit up all the time are the giant corporations because there are that many more layers of red tape to have anyone speak on behalf of the company.
Yeah.
Whereas it would be like, you know, and I'm not familiar enough with this even, but I'll throw it out there, a game like Dauntless, right? For them to be able to be a smaller developer, a smaller studio, be like, hey, yeah, that's broken. We're working on it. This isn't what we wanted, blah, blah. And again, the free to play Dauntless, different experience altogether. But the fact that there's ownership over it, that you can get out in front of these messages and say it, where even this is interesting to hear, but it's still even not the same line of questioning I'd want to hear from Todd Howard. I'd want to go back, like I said, 9 months a year. When do we know something was going wrong? Was there a conversation to delay to early access to, et cetera, so on? Do something here to make it not release at $60 and not be a complete game.
I hate the dogpile of all this stuff. And I remember when Fallout 76 was first launching, where it was just like literally they could not catch a break, where every single thing that exactly. And it's like, that's not excusing any of the things because those headlines were for good reason.
Oh, yeah.
But you wouldn't have seen those headlines from anyone else making mistakes, right?
Yeah.
And it gets pretty egregious, but it comes from somewhere. And I feel like this goes back even to last year's E3 when they debuted the game. This is something that, quote unquote, no one was looking for. Nobody wanted Fallout 76. And again, I say no one. Obviously, there was people out there that were sad, but I'm saying people wanted a new Fallout.
Yeah.
Of any variety. But what that means is what they think of when they think Fallout, which is single player, role playing, all this stuff. Fallout 76 was not that. They needed to prove that this is something that people did want. And then they fucked it all up.
Right.
And it's like, I feel like they made so many promises and then messed it up so bad. And now, I get that this is just in an interview. months later, and it's like, we can't, like, I'm happy they're talking about it, right? Yeah, like, yeah. All this stuff's good, and also it's not like they're coming out like, hey, here's our statement, here's the thing about the end. This is just in an interview on IGN that people can, like us, can talk about, right?
Yeah.
But what does this leave? Where does this leave Bethesda for their press conference?
I can't wait to see, man. How do you handle Fallout 76 at the E3, at your E3 Bethesda conference on Sunday? Live reaction, twitch.tv/company.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you figure you have to do something with it. And I do think that that could be part of this. I'm like, wow, I was like, this is an interesting one beforehand, right? And it's like, oh, well, maybe they're doing it as a little bit of damage control that you can get out in front of this so that when you do go out there, it's the similar thing of like, hey, yeah, like I've said a million times, we launched Fallout 76 last year and it had problems and like show like funny clips or whatever behind, right? But we've come so far and we've done all this different stuff and we're building it together and we have a wonderful community, as he says. Mm-hmm. It'll be fascinating. I totally not at all timed around this. Yesterday I was jumping around between games and I'm like, I could go for Fallout 76, and I re-downloaded it, but it took so long. I also jumped into No Man's Sky, which is now Fallout 76, where you're building bases and stuff. I was like, oh, okay. But my main thing was, once I got going in No Man's Sky, even when I got the ding, Fallout 76 is ready, I'm like, I really don't want to deal with other people. I don't want to run into anybody else right now. And I know that can happen in No Man's Sky, but I was like, no, I'm fine with my little base here. I'm building over here.
At the end of the day, I want to believe in Bethesda. They have done such good over the years, and I feel like their press conferences have been very solid and always are about the core of why we love video games and focusing on the people that are making games, the families that are making games and all that. I've always loved that. And that doesn't mean the press conferences are perfect for viewers like us, because there is a lot of the focus on the online games that don't speak to everyone, or the mobile games that don't speak to everyone, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's always surrounded by the Doom Eternals and the Wolfenstein spinoffs and the big reveals of Elder Scrolls and stuff like that. I feel like they can bring things back with this conference, but it's going to take a lot of steering the ship, and we'll see in a couple days. But I want to believe in them. I want to believe in all of the different companies, and I feel like one day we might see EA that has fixed the issues that it has. We're not going down that path yet, whereas I feel with Bethesda, at least are starting to walk.
Yeah, well, I just feel like the transgressions in the internet culture and gamers' mind for Bethesda aren't nearly as severe as EA, right? Because Bethesda, up until Fallout 76, was a company that everybody loved and thought could do no wrong. And it was that thing I talked about on the show all the time. Like, Fallout is really my jam from them. And everything else I try to get into and usually can't, like a Doom or a Wolfenstein or a Prey. Like, I respect it, though, and I understand why they like it. And I'm happy they're doing well by the consumers and making the games they want, that kids want, or the fan bases want. And so it's one of those, even though I don't play their games, in a similar thing of Double Fine, right? Even though, like, Tim Schafer, even though we love Tim and Tim works with us all the time, we hang out, like, most Tim Schafer games I'm not a fan of. Like, I'm just not an adventure game guy, but I understand why people like them, and I respect that they like them, and I respect that they're doing well by the people. Whereas EA, right, has been stepping on rakes in front of their house for years.
Yeah.
It's like, God, every time they feel like, right, I'll never get that time Peter Moore came on the Kind of Funny stage at GameSpot when we did, it must have been 2015 then, maybe 2016, E3 with them, and they were talking about you know, this new thing of gamers first and all this different stuff, and we just did Yarny, and the reason we can do Unraveled is because we make so much, and it was like, oh man, this is like a really refreshing take on it, blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, here's the next rake they just kept stepping on.
Yeah.
And then that's what it always gets into these situations, are just like, man, who at the top of this company is so tone deaf that they're ruining what the developers are doing? Because the developers are trying, right?
It's just visceral, man. Like, look, it's so, it's frustrating. But like, with what we're talking about here, Bethesda, I would put in the beloved category,
100%,
right? And then Fallout 76 happened, and we talked for Gamescast after Gamescast, being like, are they even going to be able to be at E3 this year?
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad that was.
Yeah.
That was a real question we had.
But meanwhile, we were so short-sighted, we didn't realize EA would step on another rake.
But meanwhile, with EA, it's like, Anthem happens, right? And then the other thing was like, oh, well, I mean, but at least it's going to be at E3. And it's not. like, that's crazy, but I feel like that does say a lot. And that shows that Bethesda, it's for better or worse, they believe in what they're doing. They believe in the games that they're making. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to be for better. I think, I hope, believe, and think that this Sunday we're going to see a good foot forward for the company. And it's going to make people believe again. But
you'll believe a company can fly?
We'll see, man.
Number three on the Roper Report. Well, that rhyme. McCaffrey's at it again. This is from IGN, where he reports Cuphead is coming to Teslas. If you didn't know, Ryan McCaffrey celebrated the 200th episode of his weekly Tesla podcast, Ride the Lightning, yesterday on Sunday with an interview with CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk. I listened to it last night while playing No Man's Sky. Obviously, Ryan, one of the best interviewers in the business, does a great job on it. But in the middle of it, without trying, he stumbles on the fact that, in fact, Cuphead is coming to Teslas. It'll be on Model 3, Model S, and Model Xs. You'll need a wired USB controller to work the Tesla version. You can't play it using the car's touchscreens. They're targeting a release date of later this summer. It will only include the Inkwell Island 1 section of the game due to storage limitations of the Tesla. And then if we jump to IGN's article, Ryan reports, Tesla has already released a playable suite of classic Atari games for the Model S, 3, and X, including Asteroids, Lunar Lander, and more. Those can be played using the touchscreen or a USB gamepad. Access them via the Tesla Teslatari icon in the UI's Easter egg basket. All games, including Cuphead and Teslatari, can only be played while the car is in park.
Cool. Why?
I know, right? Like, it's totally one of those because you can things.
Yeah, totally. It's because you can. That's fine. I remember it was 2002.
Oh, man. All right. Put on your sunglasses.
Little we're going sweet, back sweet in time. Young Tim Geddes was out there. So excited about the booming tech going on. There's flip phones out. Okay. The Motorola Razr was on its way.
Oh, my God. It was so cool.
And it's just like, oh, you can use the internet on your phone.
Whew.
Oh my God, I can go on GameFAQs on my phone. Whew. And look at forums. Oh shit, you can play video games. They got Tetris, they got Pac-Man in this bitch. What? Oh, it doesn't work that well, but I'm playing a video game on my phone. Whoa.
Yeah.
I remember that. This kind of feels like that. It was like, oh yeah, the car, it can also play video games.
100%.
And cool, having Asteroids and Lunar Landing and all that stuff. Fun, great. Cuphead, that's gonna look real nice. But like, hey man, You big Cuphead fan? You want to play the first world of Cuphead? Like, if it was the full game, I feel like I'd be a little less like, what the fuck? But this seems like a glorified demo.
It's totally
of an amazing game.
It is a totally glorified demo.
I bet that someone involved in Cuphead is a big fan of Tesla, and that's how this happened. Cool.
Well, fuck yeah. I'm sure if Elon Musk comes knocking on your door, and when the interview with Ryan, he's talking about how much he likes it and how hard it is. And so I think it might have even gone the opposite way, where he was a big fan of
Elon Musk was a fan. Then cool. You know what? Fuck it. Like, again, I chalk this up to the cool.
It's cool. Yeah, it's totally. When they announced it, it was like, what? And then I read the article. I was like, just the first world? And it was like, huh. What honestly gets me more excited is the Teslatari. Because if you put Asteroids on it, fine. Put Tetris on it. And then it would be the thing of like you're waiting for your kid at soccer practice. You're waiting for your girl to get off work or whatever. You're sitting out in the parking lot. Then you do just plug it in and do whatever. I don't want to drain my phone battery, all right? I want to FaceTime my mom and go, hey, old mama.
You get it. You know. You know where I'm at with
I hear you. It's just a goofy thing, whatever.
It is a goofy
it's
thing.
It's like when Gary Whitta takes you out to his car and says, look at all this cool shit it can do. He's never done this for me, mind you. He's never done this for me, but I know he's taking other people and giving the tour.
Amazing Gary Whitta story real
quick.
Oh,
here we fucking go.
Kevin and I, two nights ago, were out and we're at this bar with a couple of our friends. And next to the bar is a Underdogs 2, which is, if you're unfamiliar, like burritos, tacos, bar.
Okay. If you're totally familiar, I know. Kind of funny, fans remember how much we love Underdogs. We used to eat there every time we did the Game of Reggae show. They've opened a satellite.
They made
one.
A sequel
yeah.
To this place. And so me and Kevin went next door, ordered some burritos to take to the bar
sure.
back with us. And there was a whole bunch of people and like, you know, the to-go orders and whatever. And we were waiting for a while. And then the guy hands me a bag and he goes, are you Gary? And I was like, I looked at him like, no. And I looked at the name's Gary Whitta. And I was like, what the hell? No. And we were the other ones, but Gary Whitta, like, I guess Grubhubbed or something.
That's awesome. Some
underdog, because he lives around there, too.
Yeah, you should have delivered it to him.
It was just such a, like, what the fuck moment of, like, such a small world where me and Kevin just looking like, this is Gary Whitta's order.
San Francisco is such a weird place. We used to talk to people before about it. I was like, it's such a weird, it's a small town, big city. Where it's a full-blown city, of course, duh, but it's only 7x7, so you run into people all the time. Like, when we came off the airplane coming back from one of the meet and greets, and Gary Whitta was staring with his luggage staring at a menu. I was like, oh, hey, Gary. He's like, what the fuck? Gary Whitta. God rest your soul. Future-proofing. Number four on the Roper Report, Blood and Truth has topped the UK charts. This is the first game to ever do so. This is Christopher Dring over at GamesIndustry.biz. That makes more sense. Thank you. I didn't read all the words in that sentence. So it's the first game ever to be the top of the UK charts for video games. Anyways, Big budget PS4 VR exclusive Blood and Truth is the best-selling game of the week at UK physical retail. Excluding digital sales, more on that later in the week, the PSVR title beat FIFA 19 to number one by just 400 copies. Wow. FIFA enjoyed a boost in sales this week, boosted, no doubt, by the All English Champions League final. Let me tell you, I saw Cameron and Rahul and Gary tweeting about this shit, and I had no idea what they were talking about, and I just went about my day, and it was great.
They were stoked.
Blood and Truth is the first VR game to achieve such a feat, and it could well be the second VR hit from Sony's London studio. The first game, PlayStation VR Worlds, has been packed with the PlayStation VR headset and is by far the best-selling VR game in the UK. Last week's number one, Team Sonic Racing, dropped 46% in sales to number three. It's a strong result for Sega's game, which continues to outpace its critically loved original. But it was an incredibly tight chart this week. In fact, just over 6,000 copies separated number 40 and number one in the charts this week.
Wow.
As you know, Tim, mm-hmm. as you know, listener/viewer, I play fast and loose with the UK chart data. Sometimes I bring it in, sometimes I don't. It doesn't include digital, so it doesn't blah, blah, blah.
But this seems worth it.
I like that this is the first VR game to do so, not to mention the fact that there's another chance for me to tell you, you should all play Blood and Truth, because I'm a big fan, hashtag game provided by PlayStation, because I'm a big fan of it and really, really dug my time with it. I need to double back to platinum it now that guides are starting to pop up. But we didn't get to talk about it on Gamescast because we did predictions. Mm-hmm. But Blood and Truth, another great fucking jewel in the crown that is PlayStation VR. That made sense.
Yes.
Think about it. Think about it.
No. I saw PlayStation VR featured somewhere weird this weekend. Doesn't matter.
Where?
Some movie or something. I don't know.
Was it?
By the way, see Booksmart. It wasn't Booksmart, but
was go it watch the Ali Wong one?
Didn't watch that yet.
It's good.
Yeah.
Watch that.
Oh, it is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Number five. Minecraft story mode is going bye-bye. This is from Minecraft themselves or Minecraft.net.
Did they write that?
Which part?
Going bye-bye?
No, they said something else. Okay. I retitle them sometimes. They get all wordy.
No,
they're
I get
all,
it.
I'm trying
it.
To dress it up. I'm like, here, it says bye-bye. As you might have heard, its publisher, Telltale, is no longer a business, which unfortunately means that Minecraft Story Mode will no longer be supported. If you've purchased these seasons, please download all the remaining episodes prior to the service being discontinued in June. Here's the full message. On behalf of the publisher, Minecraft Story Mode, a Telltale game series, Season 1 and 2, will no longer be supported on June 25th, 2019. If you've purchased these seasons, please download all remaining episodes prior to the service being discontinued in June. So, if you own either Minecraft Story Mode on Windows, Mac OS, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita, Wii U, Nintendo Switch, Xbox 360, Xbox One, Android, or iOS,
or Tesla,
you have until June 25th, 2019 to download all the episodes. We recommend checking out all the episodes if you downloaded them. Here we go, Tim. Another one bites the dust.
Another one bites
Video
the dust.
Video game history being erased. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? How's that make you feel? Stick in your craw?
Download them if you want them.
Exactly. Yeah, like my PT I got on my system. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Never got into them. You know, I like the Minecraft fine. I like Sean Astin. Downloaded it. Played episode one. It was like, all right, I'm fine. I don't need to come back to this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Easy platinum, of course, but... you know me. I don't play the easy platinum. Just to play them.
No.
Tim!
Yeah.
Minecraft story mode is going away, so I need new games to play. But so many games come out every day, I don't know where to go to find out where the games came from. If I want to know where moms and bobbies came from, where do the games go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every week.
Yeah.
Real quick, Greg. I was in Disney World a couple weeks ago, it feels like.
Sure, yeah.
You might have known.
Think about
my
that
boy Andrew McLean was giving me the tour of everything.
Sure.
And we're talking about like what rides I needed to go on, which ones I didn't, which shows I needed to see, whatever. And there was one show in particular we were talking about that was kind of just like a waste that you really don't need to do.
Sure.
But like it's something that like it's good for AC. It's good for when you're hot outside.
It's better not be knocking against the hoop dee doo review.
And then no, it was not. It was not. But he was just like, he's like, yeah, it's kind of like Greg playing My Name is Mayo for the easy platinum.
Sure.
You know, it's just like nobody wants to do it, but like
you gotta do something.
Yeah,
you're awake,
like,
aren't you?
So I was just like, "What a random thing to say!"
But it made sense to you, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally, absolutely.
And also, we're doing the Kind of Funny podcast this afternoon. As
yes,
you know.
We are.
Watch it live, patreon.com/kindoffunny, or watch it later. I got one. You want to talk about a small world story for you? Wait till I bust this shit out. Before we get into the games, I'm going to give you the sponsors. Today we're brought to you by Hims and Omaha Steaks. Let's talk about Hims. Nick and Andy noticed their thinning hair and decided to do something about it. They went to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, and the thing is, once you start to notice, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than replace the hair you've lost. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims can connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. You get well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. You can save hours by going to hims4hims.com. Answer a few quick questions, and the doctor will review and prescribe you products that are shipped directly to your door. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details and safety information. This would cost you hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Talk to a doctor. If they say so, they'll prescribe you some stuff. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. F-O-R-H-I-M-S.com/gamesdaily. Next, Omaha Steaks. Y'all know how much I love Omaha Steaks. I sent them to my father. He was so impressed with them, he sent them back to me. Gotta, and now the cycle continues over and over again as we all get steaks and be very, very happy. Kevin loves it because we have too much meat in the freezer. I still need to get the meat out of there. I'm sorry. You can be like me and my dad and order Omaha Steaks. Looking for an easy, affordable way to stock up for summer grilling as well as a great gift? Think Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks is America's original butcher, making special occasions easier since 1917. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time Father's Day gift offer to my listeners. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code KFGAMES in the search bar for 74% off the Father's Day Steak Fix gift package. A $235 value for just $59.99. Order now and you'll get 2 tender filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 savory pork chops, 4 Omaha steak burgers, 4 massive gourmet jumbo franks, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, all beef meatballs, 4 premium chicken breasts, 4 caramel apples heartless for dessert, a packet of Omaha Steaks signature seasoning, and you'll get 4 extra Omaha Steaks burgers for free. This, of course, comes with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You're going to enjoy it. Don't miss out. Order now and you get this exclusive Omaha Steaks Father's Day Steaks Fix package valued at $235 for just $59.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and type KF Games in the search bar. Don't wait, it ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and get the Father's Day Steak Fix gift package now. Tim?
Yes.
Out today, Hyper Bit Chasm on PC, Ironheart on PC, Pet Puzzle on PC, Fruit Mess on PC. They aren't trying, all right? They just aren't trying anymore. New dates for you. Shenmue 3 has been delayed. It was August 27th. Now it's November 19th. How do you feel?
I am...
Is Huber crying?
Yeah,
crying?
I'm very hurt for Huber, yeah. I would say. I could not care less.
That's a good shirt. We should sell you. Hurt for Huber.
I feel like this is very bad news for Shenmue.
Hey, man. What do you mean?
I feel like it didn't have much of a chance of being a success in August. You're telling me this is going to come out in the same month as Pokemon and Death Stranding?
And Call of Duty, right? No, it's a week after Call of Duty. The people who care about Shenmue are going to care about Shenmue regardless of when it comes out.
I get it, but I feel like in August there would have been a group of people that didn't care, but are like, you know what, I guess I'll try to care because there's nothing else to care about right now.
Yeah, yeah.
November.
Mm-mm. No, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
No.
You know, is this just another one of these Kickstarter games? They're just like, what? It just keeps, well, it's like Bloodstained.
Yeah, this is different than this is actually a Shenmue game. Yeah, okay, fair. Like a proper.
Sure. You're just going to insult Iga's body of work. I understand. No big deal.
I mean, it's not a Castlevania game.
I mean, nobody cares. They're just excited for, you know, more EA gameplay.
I feel like more people would care if it was Castlevania.
That's fair. Then this one, June 7th. Guess what's coming, Tim? An Xbox One S Fortnite Battle Royale Special Edition Bundle 1TB. It gets a Gradient Purple Xbox One S console, a purple Xbox wireless controller, Fortnite Battle Royale, a Dark Vertex cosmetic suit download code, 2,000 V-Bucks, and $299 US is what it will cost you. This is all, of course, for the special edition bundle, Xbox One S Fortnite Battle Royale.
Kevin, I just slacked assets.
Yeah.
Can you please bring this up?
You gonna buy this one?
No.
You like it though?
Jesus Christ, I love it.
It's beautiful.
This might be the sexiest Xbox One console I've ever seen.
Now, before you say that, do you remember when I had the one that I put the Mizzou stickers all over?
I do. I very, very just clearly remember that one. Yeah, yeah. This thing is sexy. Now, it being an S, 100%. Obviously, automatically puts me out of the running.
Sure, you're not going to do that. You got a 4K TV. Yeah, X or bus.
X going to give it to me, or else I'm not interested. But God, look at that thing.
Beautiful. Yeah. I same way, I'm not going to buy it. I have an Xbox One X. It's fine.
Yeah.
But like, that's a very pretty console.
That is great.
Time for reader mail. You gotta pull it together, man. I understand you're excited.
Give me some good shit. I don't want any bullshit today, Greg Miller. I want some good questions.
Oh, shit. Give him the good shit, dude. Richard the Bat says at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. What's up, Greg and Tim? Happy E3 season. So I am hyped for all the surprises coming from the conference. This is our Super Bowl. But I don't want to know the big surprises. I want to know if there are any indie games you want to be announced. Some sequels? I know my girlfriend wants Cat's Quest 2, and I'm hoping for another golf story to be announced. I know this might be a hard one with you guys running the showcase, but I appreciate any insight. Thanks for everything you guys do. Keep killing the game. Well, that's exactly it, Richard the Bat. If you want a whole bunch of indie game announcements, you need to watch the Kinda Funny Games E3 Showcase Monday, June 10th, 4:30 p.m. Pacific time, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I have more than 60 indie games for you. Are there new indie games? Yes. Are there unannounced indie games? Yes. Are there sequels? Yes. New content for games you love? Yes. New trailers? Yes. A lot of games jumping around platforms? Of course.
It's always hard to talk about indie games and like what we're looking for, because that's the beauty of indie games. You don't know you're looking for them.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having said that, I'd love to see an update on Celeste's DLC. Recently, there was a post saying that they weren't going to have story added to it, but now there is story. They're recording, or not recording dialogue, but like writing the dialogue and figuring all that stuff out. So that's exciting. It might be a little too early to see something of that, but that would definitely be super hype. And I'd imagine it would be in the Nintendo Direct, because I don't know where else that would fit necessarily.
The Messenger put up some tweet today about their DLC.
Mm-hmm.
That it might just be us coming soon. I don't know if you'll
get
to see it.
Yeah, I mean, we already know that's coming. It's sure. Featured in the Kinda Funny Games Showcase number one.
Whoa! Boom.
But yeah, otherwise it's hard to say. I can't really think of indie game stuff that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
I would love, and this is like such a bullshit-ass answer, but I'd love to see what's coming after Limbo and Inside. Who makes this? Play Dead. You know, but yeah. That's not indie. But is it indie?
It's kind of. They're not owned by Microsoft.
I know, but
right?
You get what I'm saying? It's like that feels a little too high profile for.
I think it could happen to Xbox.
Oh, I think it could too. But okay. I feel like that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that's what he's asking.
Oh, so you're saying it's similar to like, man, I really would love to know what Insomniac Games is going to
exactly.
do next. Yeah, okay,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah, smaller stuff. Yeah, as you fall in that vein, right? It's what indies are so hard to narrow down because, yeah, I want to see what you're doing next and what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Andy's waiting to burst through the wall and say something about Hyper Light Drifter 2. But.
Speaking of indies, I'm an idiot for not making the very easy prediction in the games cast that Cadence of Hyrule, the Zelda Crypt of the Necrodancer, it's coming out day and date with the Direct. It's going to be an available now game.
I thought we already had the date on that, didn't we?
No. We just know June.
It's I see what you're saying. All right,
easy bet. Lock it in.
Let's stick with this Switch business. Nerd Cadet writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good day. Check to check. With Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 being a Nintendo exclusive, what's your thoughts on Nintendo characters being playable? At one point, we were so close to the original, almost having Link and Samus with leaked footage that came out. Thank you, and have a marvelous day.
That's interesting. I didn't know about that.
He put links in there. I didn't watch him.
Yeah.
So I assume he's not lying to us, but he could be lying to us.
I can see it. You know, I feel like Nintendo has been pretty open with its sharing of its characters in recent times when it comes to partnerships with games. Like Bayonetta 2 is a perfect example where there was all the Star Fox integrations and Metroid integrations. And even what we were just talking about with Cadence of Hyrule, like there's a Zelda game being made by an indie developer. That's weird, right? Yeah. I could see this.
I could see it being a poster, or we're in a room and they have like the Switch on a desk or something. I don't see it being a character that you're playing.
I think it depends on how many characters are playable.
Okay.
In Ultimate Alliance, if we start getting up into the real high numbers, I think it's a shoo-in.
You think so? A shoo-in
that at least one of them will be playable.
All right.
It won't be Mario though.
Princess Peach.
No siree. No, it'll be Link or Samus.
Because they already fight things.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Weapons.
We're gonna wade into something here, all right?
Because
it's in your wrong tune. I think maybe I said it, but I think I said it based on this question, but then you didn't correct me, but now people in your wrong are correcting me. The 2038 Pokemon CEO writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Tim, what are you expecting from tomorrow's Pokemon Direct? Not the typical quote, they will cover the return of gyms and show new Pokemon. I'm talking about they introduced Pokeball Plus / motion control support. Camera controls? ? I bring this up. He says it's Pokemon Direct's tomorrow. I must have said that, or you said it earlier. And then Lord of Pwn says the Pokemon Direct is actually Wednesday. Do you know when it is?
Yeah,
is it
Wednesday
tomorrow?
The 5th, right?
Okay, then yeah. Then,
I'm all messed up.
No, Wednesday the 5th, correct?
It's on the 5th, yeah.
Okay, then yes, that is Wednesday. Thank you for the correction, Lord of Pwn. Pokemon CEO, these are the kind of mistakes you can't make if you want to be the Pokemon CEO.
What am I expecting? I think it's going to get really in-depth into a lot of the stuff you're talking about. I do imagine they'll talk about the Pokeball Plus and that type of stuff. And I think that we'll see that camera controls are a thing that exists in the game.
Okay.
I feel like it's going to be a weird direct where a lot of what they say is obvious stuff, but people are then going to be able to watch it and take screenshot by screenshot, or like just like look at things and be like, make a lot of inferences from it that are the more meaningful advances for Pokemon being on a console as compared to being stuck on portable units for so long. Yeah, it's gonna be a weird one. I'm excited for it, but he says not the typical. They will cover the return of gyms and show new Pokemon. I actually feel like the show new Pokemon is obvious, but like I feel like this is their first time the return of gyms and how that's gonna work and what that means. Like, this could be really interesting. Like, this could be them showing us like this structure of this game is different. It might look similar to the other Pokemon games, but this is a more console Pokemon experience. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm necessarily expecting that, but I want that for sure. I feel like Sun and Moon did a good job of breaking the trend of the Pokemon experience being the exact same beats every single time. But I feel like it didn't do the perfect job of doing that. It was just it felt kind of like a side quest.
Gotcha.
Parts of it were cool, but I think that this game has a really unique opportunity to push the franchise forward and not just be the same thing, because it's going to be such a jump on point for so many people that might have not played Pokemon for generations because the Nintendo Switch is as popular as it is.
Interesting. I'm looking forward to Wednesday to see what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Squad Up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Craig Robertson needs help on PSN. His PSN name is Absife. Absieith. I play odd hours in Fortnite or Division or anything really. My friend list is just pretty empty and would love some best friends to help fill it. If you want to go play odd hours in Fortnite or Division, I think it might mean he plays. Is odd hours a game?
No.
He just plays at odd hours. Yeah. He plays at odd hours.
Yeah.
But then he says, and Fortnite or Division. It's a weird sentence structure with no periods or commas or anything. If you want to play Fortnite or Division with Absife, hit him up. Remember, the name is in the YouTube description.
You think he's the Craig Robertson?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Time for You're Wrong. This is where people write in who are watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Nope. Kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. An anabiologist reports about getting the Bing thing to get free things. Mm-hmm. You can get 15 credits a day by searching Bing 30 times on your desktop. You can get another 10 by searching Bing 10 times on your mobile phone. Since most months have at least 30 days, this translates to 750 Bing rewards points a month. A month of Xbox Live Gold is 679 points.
So there you go. I'm going to You're Wrong myself.
Oh, thank you.
I'm talking about Craig Robinson. Not Craig Robertson.
From The Office.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Also, that's true, too.
Tell me I'm wrong. I like it.
Oh, my gosh. You're a nasty boy. Yeah, that's it.
Damn.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, your first one of the week. There's still more to come each and every weekday. Tuesday, it's me and Andrea. Wednesday, it's me and Gary. Thursday, it's Fran, and I didn't book him anybody yet, but I think it's got to be you now, because you got to come in there after the Stadia business and do that, right? Are you doing a watch-along for Stadia on Thursday?
We're going to have to look at this week and do some... we're definitely doing a Stadia watch-along.
Okay.
Am I doing a Pokemon one? That's the bigger question.
Oh, really?
6 a.m., bro. And it's a long day.
Are you serious? Like,
there's some concerns. I want to. I plan on.
Thursday's going to be Tim and Fran. Friday, it's going to be Tim and GameSpot's Mike Mahardy.
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. You can watch live as we do at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, which if you're doing right now, remember We Have Cool Friends is about to debut. If you want to watch We Have Cool Friends later, youtube.com/kindoffunny. If you want to watch Kinda Funny Games Daily later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or Rooster Teeth or podcast services around the globe.
And more importantly, go watch the Kind of Funny Games cast E3 predictions episode right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
And remember, it's always the week before E3.
I know.
So many kids were like, where is it? Where is it? I'm like,
are they going to do a predictions episode?
The show comes out every Monday.
Yes, we're going to do a predictions episode.
It comes out every Monday. Why would I do it 3 weeks before E3 when I could do it the week
before?
I'll
be dead in the fucking ground if I'm not doing an E3 predictions episode from here till my death.
Wow. Until Tim's death.
That makes sense.
This has been our pleasure to serve you.